A professor entered his classroom one day and announced there would be a surprise test. To the students' surprise, there were no questions, just a black dot in the center of the sheet. The professor explained, "I want you to write about what you see there." Confused, the students started the inexplicable task. Afterwards, the professor collected the papers and read each one aloud in front of the class. All of them had defined the black dot, explaining its position in the center of the sheet. "I wanted to give you something to think about," the professor started. Everyone focused on the black dot, but no one wrote about the white part of the paper. The same happens in our lives. We have a piece of paper to observe and enjoy, but we always focus on the dark spots.
Sometimes one of the most severest tests of our faith in God is when we find ourselves faced with the trials of life, which at times, if we're going to be honest, can speak louder to us than do the very promises of God.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. Chances are, you've had moments you faced where it appeared the odds were so stacked against you, you couldn't see any other way out. Maybe you lost all hope. This week, Charles Tapp explains how to find hope even in the midst of your greatest doubts, as he shares his message, Against All Hope.
Some of you may know by now, from having been with us for quite some time here at Sligo Church, that I am enamored with idiomatic expressions. The sometimes short but yet poignantly powerful sayings that, although should never be taken literally, at times possess a very powerful message. For example, when someone says that his or her dog has finally kicked the bucket, they're not saying that their dog literally kicked the bucket. If that were the case, that would go viral on social media today. But what it's saying is, the message behind this idiom is that their dog finally died. But what about when it comes to the expression, against all odds? The meaning here is not that someone is against the odds, whatever those odds might be, but rather the meaning behind this expression is that the odds are against them. And despite their success being highly unlikely as a result of those circumstances, it was achieved anyway despite the odds. In other words, despite the apparent unfavorable circumstances that they were faced with, that you were faced with, that I was faced with, hope was not lost in the pursuit of reaching our goal. Today, I want to draw our attention to a well-known story from the Old Testament, where although the idiom against all odds is not mentioned, it could easily apply to this situation. In our scripture reading, which was read earlier today from Romans 4, 18 to 22, the Apostle Paul shares the story of Abraham and the tremendous odds that were stacked against him from becoming the honored recipient of the blessing that God desired to pour into his life, the blessing that he would make him the father of many nations. But in order to fully appreciate Paul's exposition here in Romans chapter 4, it would behoove us to first get the backstory. So I'm going to invite you this morning to turn to Genesis chapter 15 as we look at verses 1 to verse 3. But I'm going to teach each one of these verses individually. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. Let's look at verse 1. The word of God says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your,'" what everybody? "I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. After this." after this is referring to Abraham as his trained army of 318 fighters amazingly rescued Abraham's backslidden nephew Lot from the hands of their enemies. And Abraham now, after having successfully retrieved his nephew, is afraid because he believes that his enemies are going to retaliate. So God then gives a threefold response to Abraham and his fear. Look at what it says. First of all, God says, don't be what? Afraid. Secondly, he says, and reminds Abraham that he is his shield, meaning that he is his protector. And thirdly, he reminds Abraham that I will reward you. In other words, I will come through with what I have promised. But what is clearly apparent here is that although this is a good response on God's part, and one that I'm sure was greatly appreciated by Abraham, it was not a response that filled the empty chasm, the vacuum in Abraham's heart. Stay with me. And if you're like many of us, I would even go as far as to say, yea, most of us, what Abraham was feeling here has resonated in your heart at times, and it has resonated in my heart as well, when at the very core of our existence, the answer we receive from God is not the one that we were really looking for. But there have been times in all of our lives as Christians where we have heard God's promise cut through the clouds of our existence like a rainbow after a storm, but because they do not feel the need that has been tugging painfully at our heart time after time, day after day, week in and week out, we feel as though sometimes, honestly, that it's just not enough. In other words, dear friends, there are times where it appears as though God is scratching where we're not itching. Can I get a witness here today? It's like a family member or a friend who gives you a present for your birthday, but it's not the one that you wanted. It's not the one that you were looking for. I remember when I was a child growing up in St. Louis, I used to sneak at Christmas time, don't tell anybody, and go under the tree and kind of unwrap the presents. You know, I learned to do it so well, I was a pro at it, or so I thought, because I wanted to see what I was receiving. And year after year, I was disappointed because I had my eye on this Hot Wheels set. Now, if you know what Hot Wheels are, you are truly old today. The Hot Wheels with the supercharger and the loop. But every year, I would get socks. Now, I like socks. I appreciated socks. But dear friends, that's not where I was itching. And I'm sure Abraham must have felt the same way. You know, God, I appreciate that you're going to be my shield. I appreciate you're going to be my protector. I appreciate that you're going to reward me, but what I need now is something completely different than what you are offering me. But I love Abraham's response, which in my opinion was heartfelt, but still it was respectful at the same time. Let's look at it in verses 2 and 3 of Genesis chapter 15. Look at what God's word says today. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go, what? Childless. Here it is. And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. In other words, is this going to have to be my heir? That's not what you promised, God. I love Abraham's conversation with God. I love his prayer. Why? Because it's dripping with honesty. Abraham simply tells God like it is. Abraham just keeps it real with God. And dear friends, that's what God wants from me. That's what God wants from you. He wants us to keep it real. He wants our prayers to be honest, even if at times we've got to be brutally honest. So if you're afraid and you're fearful, tell God, God, I'm afraid. If you're lonely in the deepest core of your being, then tell God, God, I'm lonely. If you feel ashamed because you have messed up your life, then tell God, God, I'm ashamed. I feel guilty. I've messed it up. But here's the thing about God that you can trust in. When you and I go to God, it is a non-judgmental region. God gives us space to be honest. Even if we're afraid, even if we're lonely, even if we're sorrowful for the mess that we have created, we can go to God and God will not judge. And God did not judge Abraham here. And I love God's response. Let's look at verses 4 to verse 6 of Genesis 15. Look at what it says. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one, talking about Eliezer, shall not be your heir, but one who will come where? From your own body shall be your heir. Verse 5. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And God knew full well he couldn't. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Verse 6. And he, talking about Abraham, and he believed in the Lord, and the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. We'll come back to that part a little later. Now that we finally have the backstory, now we're ready to go back to Paul's exposition found in Romans chapter 4, verses 18. And let's read verse 19 as well. Look at what it says. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was what? As good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, not quite 100, but just about, and that Sarah, his wife's womb, was what? Also dead, against all hope. Some translations render it hope against hope. And if I had my druthers today, I would translate this phrase by using the idiomatic expression, against all odds. Despite success being highly unlikely due to the circumstances that he was faced with, his hope was never lost. And I think it's only fitting here at this juncture that we pause for a moment and explain what we mean by hope. For there's a worldly idea of hope, and then there's a biblical idea of hope. Let's look at this. Hope is commonly used to mean a wish. Oh, I hope this will happen. I hope that will happen. And its strength is where? In the strength of the person's desire. So the more I desire, then the stronger my hope will be. But in the Bible, biblical hope is not based on my desire, nor is it based on my wish, but biblical hope, don't miss this, is the confident expectation of what God has promised. And its strength is not in my wish or my desire, but the strength of my hope is in God's faithfulness. Who says amen to that? And that's the kind of hope that Abraham had, that he could hope against all hope. For the strength of our hope today, dear friends, should never be in ourselves. It should never be in an institution. It should never be in a government. Our hope as believers has to be in the faithfulness of our God. And it's this kind of hope that the writer to the Hebrews is referring to in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, when he says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And this is the hope that Abraham needed, because the circumstances, dear friends, that he faced with the promise that God had given were formidable indeed. Remember, look at it. Abraham says, listen, he's honest with God. I'm nearly 100 years of age. And although that wasn't that old in those days for procreation, it was. Sarah, he says, listen, her womb is dead. Her opportunity, her window to give birth is gone. It is past. But in spite of these odds, God promises that Abraham is going to be the father of many nations. It was against all hope.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Against All Hope. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And this week, Charles Tapp explains how you can find hope even in the midst of your greatest doubts, as he concludes his message, Against All Hope.
And it says, against all hope, Abraham's faith, listen to this, dear friends, in God's promise never weakened. Recently, I read an article by an author by the name of Mike Benton, where he lists 5 enemies of our hope. I want to share them with you this morning. Number one, he says, one of the enemies of our hope is taking our eyes off of God and focusing on people. That's an enemy of hope. Number two, to focus on the negative, always complaining, always grumbling, always spending most of our time looking at the glass being half empty instead of it being half full. Number three, enemy of our hope, always allowing ourselves to drift away from God. And trust me, dear friends, that's easy now during this time of COVID. I read an article just the other day where a study said that during the time of COVID, 1/3 fewer Christians are reading the Word of God. And why is that an enemy of hope? Because what gives us hope is our faith, and God's Word reminds us that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we're in a time where we need hope more than ever before, but that which can give us hope, we are drifting away from it during this COVID time. Enemy number 4 of our hope, and that is guilt. Allowing the guilt for the mistakes that we have made in our past to take root in our lives and then ultimately bear fruit. But look at number 5, for number 5 is huge. Number 5 is big. It is the enemy of trials in our lives. And if there's anything that can cause us to lose hope, it has to be trials. Sometimes one of the most severest tests of our faith in God, which fuels our hope, is when we find ourselves faced with the trials of life, which at times, if we're going to be honest, can speak louder to us than do the very promises of God. Sometimes loneliness speaks louder than the promise that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes death in our lives speaks louder than what Jesus says when he says, I am the resurrection and the life. Sometimes pain, sometimes disease, sometimes, dear friends, illness speaks louder than the promises of God. Even the promise that says, bring the sick who are among you, call for the elders of the church, pray and anoint them, and the prayer of faith will make them whole. It will heal them. Sometimes the voice of our pain and the voice of our sickness speaks louder than the promise of God's word. There are times in our lives where the enemies of our hope is so strong that our hope is in need of hope. Has it ever been that bad for you in your life where your hope was in need of hope? Despite the promise that Abraham and his wife Sarah were given, there were so many enemies of his hope, but the Bible says he withstood them and he hoped against all hope. And if we examine Abraham's situation logically, and he examined it logically, if you look at his argument that he presented to God, it was a logical argument. Okay, you say, I'm going to be the father of many nations. First problem, God, I'm almost 100. Have you forgotten my wife whose womb is dead? But when it comes to our hope in God, sometimes, yea, many times, we cannot go with logic. In verse 19, Abraham did not ignore the odds that were against him. Rather, he acknowledged them, nor did he allow those odds, those obstacles, those enemies of his hope to weaken his faith in God's promise. And dear friends, neither should we. Please don't miss this. For faith in God doesn't mean that we stick our heads in the proverbial sands of life to our circumstances, but rather at the same time, it means that we don't allow these enemies of our hope to weaken our faith, because our faith in God is not just in what God said. Dear friends, our faith in God is in who he is. Look at this quote by one of my favorite authors, Oswald Chambers. If you do not have his classic book, devotional book, My Utmost for His Highest, I admonish you to get it soon. Look at what he says about hope. He says, remember whose you are and whom you serve. Notice he didn't say remember what God said, because hope in God is not just about what God said, it's who God is. He says, remember whose you are and whom you serve. Provoke yourself, he says, by recollection, reminding yourself, and your affection for God will increase tenfold. Your imagination will not be starved any longer, but will be quick and enthusiastic. And please don't miss this. And your hope will be inexpressibly bright. But we've got to remind ourselves of who God is. And this is what I've been doing lately, especially during this time of the pandemic and during the time of COVID. So many times we're spending all of our time focusing on that which is, and we don't need to put our heads in the sand. But I've got to remind myself, and you've got to remind yourself, not just what God said, but who said it. Here's COVID. Here's the creator of the universe. You do the math. We've got to remind ourselves that a God who took nothing and created a universe. Don't you know that that same God has COVID? That same God has racial injustice and unrest? That same God has you and me in his hands? Abraham and Sarah, despite the odds that were against them, they hoped against all hope. In other words, they didn't allow the enemies of their hope to win out. Look at verses 20 and 21 of Romans chapter 4. I love this. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was what? Strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Verse 21. But being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he has promised. Listen, because Abraham was fully persuaded, he was fully convicted, he was fully convinced that God had the power to do what he said, the Bible says he gave glory to God. Here's what we learn from Abraham and Sarah's situation here. When it says, and then he gave glory to God, the glory that he gave was trusting in God. The glory that he gave meant that he was willing to live like he believed. He was willing to walk like he believed. And he was willing to love like he believed. And he was willing to give like he believe. And if you and I in these dark moments want to truly give glory to God, we've got to talk like we believe. We've got to live like we believe. We've got to walk like we believe. We've got to love like we believe. And we've got to give like we believe. Because when we do that, we're not giving glory to the enemies of our hope. We're giving glories to the God of our hope. Who says amen to that today? And here's the thing, we should live that way, not just in good times, but times when it appears as though things are against all hope. Look at verse 22 of Romans chapter 4. This is the verse that just wraps it all up together. This is why, because of Abraham's faith, which gave him hope, this is why it was what? Credited to him as righteousness. And here's the message that Paul is trying to explain, because you know, Paul was all about the message of righteousness by faith. Paul was trying to get his readers to understand, as well as you and me today, is that our righteousness to be saved is not wrapped up in what we can do, it's wrapped up in what God has done through Jesus Christ. And when you and I have that kind of faith in God, it gives us access to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only righteousness that you and I can be saved by is not the righteousness of the law. It is not the righteousness of our good works. It is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which can only be attained by faith in God. The kind of faith that hopes against all hope.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Against All Hope. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Whether you realize it or not, if you claim to be a Christian, you are a walking ambassador for Christ. And next week, Charles Tapp asks this difficult question. If you had a letter of recommendation for your Christian walk, how would it read? We hope you can join us as he shares his message, A Letter from God. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.